Your ability to think, plan, decide, and take action determines the entire course of your life. The better you become in each area, the better will be each part of your life, and the faster you will achieve your goals. Personal strategic planning is the tool that you use to get from wherever you are to wherever you want to go. The difference between a person who uses personal strategic planning as a central part of his or her life is the difference between a person who rides a bicycle and a person who drives a car. Now, both will get you from point A to point B, but the car, personal strategic planning, will get you there much faster and easier and with greater comfort. Fortunately, personal strategic planning is a systematic way of thinking and acting. It is therefore learnable, like learning to type with a typewriter or drive a car. There are many different elements of this key skill, but with practice you can get into the rhythm of thinking and acting strategically for the rest of your life. When you do, your life and career will take off like a rocket. Your success will be assured. Some years ago, I was invited to take the executive group of a young, dynamic New York Stock Exchange company through a 2-day strategic planning exercise. This company had grown rapidly, largely based on the ambition and drive of the top management group. The company was experiencing a booming market, and they were intensely motivated by the potential for high personal incomes. None of them had ever done any strategic planning before, including the president of the company. At that time, their annual sales were about $75 million. Their goal for the next year, a stretch goal, was to grow their sales to $100 million. Most of the key people were in their late 20s. They were skeptical of the whole idea of strategic planning. They thought it was largely a waste of time. After all, they reasoned, they knew what they needed to get done, and they were doing a pretty good job, weren't they? For 2 days, I helped them to ask and answer a series of questions about themselves, their business, their market, and their future. As they wrestled with these questions and argued with each other, they came very quickly to the realization that they had been succeeding largely on the basis of luck, energy, and a good market. As a result of this process, they did a complete reversal in their thinking. They got seriously into the work of strategic planning and hammered out a clear set of goals and plans for the coming year. The result was amazing. Instead of increasing their sales from $75 million to $100 million, which most of them had considered quite optimistic, they hit $125 million in revenue within the next 12 months. They told me later that they attributed their entire success to the 2 days we spent together in strategic planning. The reason that strategic planning and thinking is so helpful is that it saves you an enormous amount of time and money. By thinking through the key questions and concepts of strategy, you very quickly find yourself doing more and more of the most important tasks that can move you towards your key goals. At the same time, you do fewer and fewer of those things that are not particularly helpful. You do more things right and fewer things wrong. You establish specific targets for the company and for everyone in it. You greatly improve your ability to measure and track results. You move onto the fast track in your life and work in general. The purpose of corporate strategic planning is to increase return on equity. Equity is defined as the actual amount of shareholder money invested and working in the enterprise. The aim of strategic planning in business is to reorganize and restructure the activities of the corporation so as to achieve a higher quality and quantity of outputs relative to inputs. It is to improve and increase financial results. It is to achieve superior profitability. Overall, the goal of strategic planning is to enable the company to utilize its people and resources more effectively. The company will then function better than before. It will be in a superior position relative to its competition. This improvement can be measured in terms of higher sales, greater market share, better profitability, higher returns on invested assets, and better positioning for the future. Personal strategic planning is very similar to corporate strategic planning. However, instead of return on equity, Personal strategic planning is aimed at increasing your return on energy. Put another way, it is to increase your return on life. The equity in a business is measured in terms of financial capital. Your personal equity, on the other hand, is measured in terms of your own human capital. Your personal equity is composed of the mental, emotional, and physical energies you have to invest in your career. Your goal should be to get the very highest return possible on the investment of yourself in everything you do. How well you invest yourself determines your income. This is the focal point of personal strategic planning. You can tell that it is time to revisit your strategic plan when you're no longer getting the kind of results you want from your work or from your life. Whenever you feel frustrated or dissatisfied for any reason, this is often an indication that you should sit down and ask yourself some good, hard questions. Whenever you experience resistance or stress, or you find yourself working harder and harder only to feel that you're getting fewer and fewer rewards, you should stand back and look at the possibilities of revising your strategy. Life moves in regular cycles, like the seasons. Most human activities follow what is called the sigmoid curve. This curve is like the letter S lying on its side. Every new endeavor begins at the high point of the S on the left, declines downward as it goes through a learning phase, rises upward as it goes through the growth phase, levels off at the top, and then goes into decline. The sigmoid curve applies to product and service cycles, personal and professional relationships, careers, corporation life cycles, and even the histories of nations and empires. It's helpful for you to stand back and identify where each part of your life is today on the sigmoid curve. Are you in phase one, the learning phase? Are you in phase two, the growth phase? Or are you in phase three, the decline phase? In phase one, you'll be extraordinarily busy, facing challenges and difficulties, learning and trying new things as you scramble to get results, especially financial results. In phase two, the growth phase, you will be in a state of high energy and exhilaration, with business and sales growing and all kinds of new possibilities and ideas bubbling up on all sides. In phase three, the excitement will start to go out of the business or your career. You will be selling increasingly less of your products or services, or achieving fewer results or rewards. Profit margins will be smaller and harder to earn. There'll be a vague sense of, is this all there is? There are seven key questions in strategic planning, both for yourself and for your business. These are questions that you need to ask and answer over and over throughout your career. Sometimes a new answer to any one of these questions can dramatically change the direction of your business and your life. An insight that you get from continually asking these questions of yourself can lead to your establishing new goals and new focal points for your future. The first and most important question is this: what business are you in? What business are you really in? Define your business in terms of what you do for your customer or for your company. Keep expanding the definition of your business so that it is as broad as possible. Never be satisfied with the first answer. For example, railroads once defined themselves as being in the business of moving people and freight by rail. In reality, they were in the transportation business. By ignoring the other avenues of transportation that were developing, such as trucks, buses, ships, and airplanes, many railroads went out of business. Many internet companies define themselves as providers of free information geared toward attracting as many eyeballs as possible. In reality, the internet is a communication and distribution channel that must be focused on selling products or services and making a profit like any other business. The failure to accurately define the business has led to the loss of many billions of investment dollars and market capitalization. You always define your business in terms of the effects your products or services have on the life or work of other people or organizations. By the same token, you define your own personal work in terms of the effect or impact that you have on the people you work for and with, both internally and externally. Once you've decided clearly what business you are in, you apply zero-based thinking to your activities, and you ask, knowing what I now know, is there anything that I am doing today that I wouldn't get into again if I had to do it over? As Peter Drucker says, planning for tomorrow means sloughing off yesterday. Before you can do something new, you have to stop doing something old. Creating the future means leaving the past behind. Keep asking yourself, what are the activities that I should reduce, discontinue, or get out of altogether based on the situation the way it really is today? The next question for you to ask is, what business will we be in if things continue the way they are today? If I don't change, what will I be doing 1 year, 2 years, and 5 years from today? Is it an intelligent strategy to continue in my current line of business, or should I be looking at changing in some way? What business should you be in? Look at yourself, your talents, your abilities, your ambitions, your energies, and especially your heart's desire to determine the business you should be in, the work you should be doing sometime in the future. What business could you be in? If you were to dramatically change your level of knowledge or skills, your products or services, your industries or markets, what business could you be in if you really wanted to be? What changes would you have to make today to create the business of the future? What changes will you have to make personally to become the kind of person who can live the life and do the work you would really like to be doing sometime in the future? The third question you ask is, who is my customer? Who do you have to satisfy in order to survive and thrive in your career? Of course, your first customer is your boss, the person who signs your paycheck. Your primary job at work is to make sure that you are satisfying his or her essential requirements. Do you know what they are? You can define a customer as anyone who depends on you for their success, and anyone who you depend upon for your success. With this definition, your colleagues and your staff are also your customers. Everyone around you who you help or who helps you is a customer in some way. Who is your external customer, the customer who uses what you produce? This is the focal point of business success. Your ability to accurately identify the external customer whose satisfaction determines your success in your career is critical to every element of strategic planning. What does your customer consider value? What specific benefits does your customer get from using your products or services? What does your customer really want and need from you in order to be completely satisfied? How does your product change or improve his or her life and work? The 21st century is being called the age of the customer. The customer is king or queen as never before. Your ability to identify and satisfy your key customers is a critical determinant of your success and your rewards in life. Who will your customer be in the future if current trends continue? Who should your customer be if you want to rise to the top of your field? Who could your customer be if you were to change your product or service offerings? How could you upgrade your knowledge and skills and your ability to satisfy that customer? Here's a good question for you. Are there any customers in your business who, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't start working with again today? Answering this question honestly is an essential part of liberating yourself and your company from some of the decisions of the past. Many companies today are analyzing and identifying the qualities and characteristics of their best customers. They are then sorting their customers into high-value and low-value customer segments. By doing this, they can focus more and more of their time and attention on their highest-value customers and on acquiring more customers like them. Simultaneously, they spend less and less time on their lower-value customers and, in many cases, encourage their lower-value customers to buy from other companies. Not long ago, a friend of mine, a successful entrepreneur, applied the 80-20 rule to his customer base. He determined that 20% of his customers contributed 80% of his sales volume and 80% of his profits. He decided to fire the 80% of his customers that contributed 20% or less of his revenues. One by one, he handed them off to other companies in his industry who he felt could service them better. He then focused all of his attention on his higher value customers. Within 1 year, his business and his personal income doubled. Would this strategy work for you? The fourth question is, what is it that you do especially well? What is your area of excellence, your area of superiority? What is your personal competitive advantage relative to the other people in your field? This is a vital focal point question in personal strategic planning. You will only be truly successful to the degree to which you become absolutely excellent at the most important part of your work. One of your chief responsibilities in life is to select the area of excellence that can have the greatest positive impact on your career and your income, and then throw your whole heart into becoming very, very good in that one area. In Gary Hamel's book, Competing for the Future, he points out that the top companies are those who project forward 5 years and then identify the core competencies that they will require at that time to dominate their industries. They then set in process a development plan today to assure that they have those core competencies in place when the future arrives. You should follow this strategy as well. What are the core competencies that you will need to be in the top 10% of your field 3 to 5 years from now? How do they differ from your key skills today? What can you do today to begin developing these additional skills and abilities? Whatever competencies you will require to be the best, set them as a goal, make a plan, and begin working on developing them every single day. The fifth question in personal strategic planning is this. What are the 10 to 20% of your activities that could account for 80 to 90% of your results? What are the tasks that you do today that yield the very highest returns and rewards relative to the cost and effort of performing those activities? How could you organize your work life so that you are doing more and more of these tasks of higher value? The sixth question in personal strategic planning is this. What are the critical constraints on your ability to achieve your goals? In every work or production process, there are a series of steps between where you are today and the result you want to achieve tomorrow. Invariably, one of these steps is the constraint or choke point that determines the speed at which you complete the entire process and achieve your goals. For example, in getting from home to work, there's often a stretch of road or freeway that can be extremely crowded. Prior to that stretch and after that stretch, the traffic is light. But if that stretch is jammed, this can be the major constraint or bottleneck that determines how fast you cover the entire distance. If your goal is to double your income, the first thing you do is you identify the different steps you will have to take to get from where you are today to an income of twice as much. You then examine each of these steps and determine which step is the limiting factor that determines how fast you achieve your income goal. Ask yourself this question, why aren't I at my goal already? If you want to double your income, why aren't you already earning twice as much? If you want to spend more time with your family, why aren't you doing it already? Often, forcing yourself to develop the answers to these questions will enable you to see the critical constraint that's holding you back. Now, here's an important point. Fully 80% of all the constraints that are holding you back from achieving your most desired goals are inside yourself. Only 20% are on the outside. Fully 80% of the reasons that your company is not achieving its goals are inside the company in some way. Fully 80% of the reasons that you are not making more money or increasing your free time are within yourself. Your major constraints lie within your own habits, your own beliefs, your own attitudes, opinions, your own skills and abilities, or lack thereof. The superior person always asks the question, what is it in me that is holding me back? What is it in you that is holding you back? When you want to accomplish great things, you always start with yourself and work out from there. You are in complete control of yourself. You can have an enormous effect on what you do personally or what you fail to do. But you can only have a minor influence on external factors and other people. Always start with yourself. The seventh question in personal strategic planning is this: what specific action or actions am I going to take immediately based on my answers to these questions? Remember, only action is action. The purpose of strategic thinking and planning is to decide upon the actions that you're going to take to bring about different results from what you're achieving today. What are those actions? Here are several additional questions that you can ask and answer on a regular basis to implement the process of personal strategic planning in your life. Question 1. If you could wave a magic wand and have whatever you wished for in any part of your life, what would it be? Question 2. If you could design your perfect lifestyle day in and day out, what would it look like? Question 3. If you could create your perfect calendar, how would you spend each day, each week, each month, and each year? Question 4. How would you change your life if you received $1 million cash, tax-free, today? What would be the first thing that you would do? Question 5. What parts of your work do you enjoy the most and do the best? Where do you excel? What sorts of activities make you the happiest? Question 6. What would you do? How would you spend your time if you learned today that you only had 6 months left to live? Question number 7. What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? If you were absolutely guaranteed of success in any one goal, small or large, short-term or long-term, what would it be? When you ask and answer these questions honestly, you dramatically increase your awareness of who you really are and what you really want. Invariably, you will find that there are things that you are doing today that you should stop doing as soon as possible. In addition, you will realize that there are things that you should be doing more of and new activities that you should be starting. The personal strategic planning process for Focal Point divides your life into 7 areas. This enables you to clarify what you really want in each area. This process enables you to crystallize what you have to do to get the things you want faster and easier than ever before. The 7 areas of life are the following. Number 1, business and career. How do you become extremely successful and satisfied and move to the top of your field? Number 2 area is family and personal life. How do you achieve balance between external success and your personal relationships? Area number 3 is money and investments. How do you get your financial life completely under control and achieve financial independence? Area number 4 is health and fitness. How do you achieve and maintain high levels of fitness, energy, and overall well-being? Area number 5 is personal growth and development. How do you identify and acquire the key knowledge and skills that you need to live an extraordinary life? Area number 6 is social and community activities. How do you structure your life so that you make a real difference in the world and leave a lasting legacy? Area number 7 is spiritual development and inner peace. How do you organize your inner life and thinking so that you realize your full potential as a human being? Give yourself a grade in each area on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest. you will find that most of your stress and unhappiness today will come in the area where you are currently giving yourself the lowest grade. Your first goal is to identify that area. Your second goal is to determine the specific steps you need to take to get that area under control. The focal point process consists of 7 steps in each area. These 7 steps comprise a system of personal strategic planning that enables you to determine where to put the X in each part of your life. These 7 steps are the following. First is values clarification. What are the values, virtues, qualities, and traits that are most important to you in each area of your life? The second is vision. If your life was perfect in this area 5 years from today, what would it look like? The third area is goals. What specific goals must you achieve in order to fulfill your ideal future vision in that area? The fourth step or area is knowledge and skills. In what areas will you have to excel in the future to achieve your goals and fulfill your vision, and how are you going to develop the knowledge and skills to do it? Area number 5 is your habits. What specific habits of thought and action will you need to become the person who is capable of achieving the goals that you've set for yourself? The 6th area is daily activities. What specific activities will you have to engage in each day to assure that you become the person you want to become and achieve the goals that you want to achieve? And the 7th area is your actions. What specific action or actions are you going to take immediately to begin realizing and creating your ideal future vision? We will deal with each of these questions and each of the 7 areas in detail. Step by step, you will learn how to develop absolute clarity concerning what it is you really want in every part of your life. You will learn how to set clear priorities in each category. You will identify specific actions you can take immediately to bring about powerful and positive change in your life. Remember, the quality of your thinking determines the quality of your life. The better questions you ask of yourself, the better answers you'll come up with. As you improve the quality of your thinking, the quality of everything you do improves at the same time. Since there's really no limit to how much you can improve the quality of your thinking, there's no real limit to how much you can improve your life. The law of correspondence says that your outer world will always be a reflection of your inner world. To change anything in your outer world, you must begin by changing what is going on in your inner world. The greater clarity you have with regard to who you are, what you want, and what you have to do to get from where you are to where you want to go, the faster you will move ahead. You will accomplish vastly more, and your life will be better in every area. There are no limits. Once upon a time, people grew up, got a job, and worked away at it for the rest of their lives, with little variation. But those days are gone forever. A person starting work today, according to the experts, will have on average 14 full-time jobs lasting 2 years or more, and 5 careers in completely different fields or industries. Fully 42% of the workforce, according to Fortune magazine, is made up of free agents. These are contingency workers who will move from company to company throughout their lives. Each year, there are more than 1 million new business startups in the United States. These are in addition to the more than 20 million businesses that already exist. On top of that, hundreds of thousands of new partnerships, joint ventures, and sole proprietorships are formed each year. Tens of thousands of new products, processes, and services are introduced into an already crowded marketplace. Millions of people move up, down or sideways in their jobs, companies, or careers. The rate of change, growth, and expanding opportunity has never been greater, and if anything, it's getting better and faster every year. Here are three predictions for you. First, there will be more changes in your field, whatever it is, in the year ahead than there have ever been before. Second, there will be more competition in your field than there has ever been before. And third, there will be more opportunities in your field than there have ever been before, but they will be different from today and be in different areas than you expect or anticipate. As many as 72% of people working today will be in a different job within the next 2 years as a result of this incredible speed of change, increase in competition, and explosion of opportunity. As many as 50% of the working population today are in the first year of their current jobs, either with a new company or with their existing employer. Whatever you are doing, your job responsibilities and outputs have probably changed dramatically in the last few months, and they will continue to change. Andrew Grove, the chairman of Intel Corporation, wrote recently that one of the most profound changes of the last decade is that each person today is now the architect of his or her own career. You can no longer rely on a corporation to take care of you and accept responsibility for your long-term success in your work life. You must think and act for yourself. You are the president of your own personal services corporation. You are always self-employed, no matter who signs your paycheck. The biggest mistake you can ever make is to ever think that you work for anyone else but yourself. The key to your success in whatever you do is to see yourself as an independent agent. You must continually look for ways to add value every single day. You are responsible. Psychologists tell us that a sense of control is the key to a positive mental attitude and a feeling of personal power. When you accept complete responsibility for your life, you take control of your future destiny and you feel terrific about yourself. You feel stronger, more confident, and more powerful. You become a master of circumstances rather than a victim of circumstances. Your primary responsibility to yourself with regard to your business and career is to design your future the way you want it to be. Clarity is essential. The very act of becoming crystal clear about what you want and what you have to do to get it dramatically increases the likelihood that you will realize your goals exactly as you imagined and on schedule. The focal point process, as it applies to your work, helps you to identify exactly what is most important to you. It helps you identify what you need to do to achieve your most important goals. It enables you to determine the steps that you have to take to get from wherever you are to wherever you want to go. The starting point of business success, as an individual or as an organization, lies in values clarification. A values clarification is an exercise that enables you to determine the principles that are important to you and in what order. You then build your entire career upon the foundation of these values. You see, you are designed in such a way that you'll only be happy and fulfilled when you are living consistent with your highest values and your innermost convictions. High-performing men and women are absolutely clear about what it is they believe and stand for, and they don't deviate from these values for any reason. Unhappy, underachieving men and women, on the other hand, are fuzzy or confused about their values, whatever they are, and they compromise them regularly at the slightest temptation or pressure. You live from the inside out. The very core of your being is composed of your deepest beliefs about what is right and good in the human condition. Your values determine your emotions, your motivations, and your responses to the world around you. Your values determine the kind of people you like, love, are attracted to, and enjoy working and living with. Your values determine the activities you most enjoy and what sort of work you will excel at. You identify the most strongly with the people whose values are consistent with your own. You fall in love with a person who has the same values that you do. You enjoy working for a company and with people who share your values. When you see your values upheld in the world around you, you feel happy and satisfied. When you see your values violated, you feel angry and frustrated. Your values are everything. Most stress and unhappiness in life arises when you deviate from your values in some part of your life. Most relationship problems revolve around a conflict of values. Happiness in relationships is the direct result of two or more people sharing the same values in very much the same order of importance. Most of your problems can be resolved by returning to the values that are most important to you. Your values are always organized in a hierarchy from top to bottom, from more important to less important. You have values that are higher than some and lower than others. You have a primary value, a secondary value, a tertiary value, and so on. You always demonstrate your values in your behaviors. It's not what you say, but what you do that shows yourself and the world around you what you truly believe. A person cannot do one thing on the outside and be someone else on the inside. Action is not only everything, it is the only thing when it comes to values. You will always sacrifice a lower order value in favor of a higher order value when you're forced to choose between them. It's when you are under pressure that you reveal your true character. When you are under pressure, you will always choose the value that is dearest to you. You always demonstrate who you really are on the inside when you are forced to make a choice on the outside. For example, imagine two people with the same three values. These values are family, health, and career success. However, John's order of values is different from Jim's. John's primary value is his family. After his family comes his health. And after his health comes career success, in that order. Jim has the same three values, but in a different order. Jim's three values are first, career success, second, family, and third, health. Here's the question. Would there be a difference between John and Jim? Would there be a small difference or a large difference? Which of the two people would you prefer to have as a friend? If you met the two individuals at a social occasion, would you be able to tell which person was which on the basis of their conversation and behavior? The answer is clear. A person's choice of values determines their entire character and personality. It determines their priorities and choices. It dictates their conversation and interests. A person's values determine what they will do and won't do. The order of a person's values is the critical factor in shaping his or her entire destiny. You can always tell your values or the values of anyone else by observing how they behave when they're forced to choose. Anyone can have high and noble values when nothing is at stake. But when there is a price to pay, a sacrifice to make, a discipline to adhere to, people reveal their true selves and their true beliefs. You develop your values early in life as the result of the influences around you. If you grow up with good role models, you will develop life-enhancing values that help you to become an excellent person. If people grow up with no role models or receive no guidance in values, they can reach maturity and have little or nothing that they believe in or stand for. Sometimes your values are called your organizing principles. These are the standards that you use to judge your behavior and the behavior of others. These are the rules you follow when you make decisions. When you are crystal clear about your values and their order of priority, you find it much easier to make decisions in the critical moments of your life. One of my client companies was a large conglomerate that decided to get into the telecommunications industry. The first thing they did was to spend several weeks discussing and determining their values and their mission statement for this new division. Once they had defined their values, they then agreed on the meaning of those values and how those values would be used to guide their behavior in the operation of the business. Whenever the managers or executives of this company had a question or a problem, they would each take out the plasticized card describing their values and discuss the problem with the card in hand. They would ask each other, based on this value of integrity, for example, how should we handle this situation? They would then go through each of their values using these definitions as the basis for both discussion and decision-making. Interestingly enough, the company started with an idea and some seed capital in a highly competitive industry and went on to become a great commercial success, literally a giant in the industry. The company continues to grow and is highly profitable. Everyone in the company knows and lives by the values, without exception. More than anything else, everyone who works in the company is happy, enthused, and highly motivated. Values make the difference. So, what are your values? What do you believe in? What do you stand for? What will you not stand for? What are your innermost convictions and your organizing principles? The accuracy with which you answer these questions will largely determine both your happiness and your success in your career. Now, some values you might choose for your career could be integrity, dependability, quality, excellence, hard work, and customer service. Examine your current behavior to determine how consistent it is with the values you espouse. Decide how you will behave in the future to assure that your actions are more consistent with the values that you consider to be the most important. Then, select the one value that you feel is more important than any other single value in your work life. Make this your focal point for your behavior and decision-making. Resolve to live consistent with this value in everything you say or do. Never allow an exception. Let this value be your guiding light so that years from now, people will still speak about you and this value in the same sentence. The second part of the focal point process, once you've determined your values, is for you to project forward and develop a clear vision of your ideal work life 5 years in the future. Imagine that 5 years from now, everything was perfect and your work life was ideal in every way. Your vision, of course, must be consistent with your values. So answer these questions. What would your ideal job or position look like? What would you be doing in your ideal job or position most of the time? How much would you be earning in the perfect job? What kind of people would you be working with if your work life was perfect in every way? What level of responsibility would you have? What kind of company or industry would you be working in? And finally, how would your colleagues and coworkers think about you and talk about you when you weren't there? Practice back from the future thinking. Project forward 5 years and then look back mentally to where you are today. Imagine the steps that you would have had to take to make your future vision a reality. This exercise, by the way, of projecting forward and then looking back to the present, is extremely powerful in clarifying for you what you want and what you'll have to do to achieve it. Once you have a vision, the next step is for you to develop a mission for your career. A mission is an ideal description of what you want to accomplish in your career in the years ahead. A mission is something that is both achievable and measurable. A clear mission statement revolving around your values is such that an objective third party can tell you whether or not you have achieved the mission. A mission statement can be very short and to the point. The mission statement for AT&T for many years was to bring telephone access to every American. The mission statement for Coca-Cola Corporation is beat Pepsi. The mission statement for the Pepsi-Cola Corporation is beat Coke. Perhaps the most famous mission statement of the 20th century was contained in the orders given by General George C. Marshall to General Dwight D. Eisenhower when he took command of the Allied forces in World War II. It said this. It said, proceed to London, invade Europe, defeat the Germans. Your personal career mission statement might be something like this. Based on my values of integrity, quality, and excellent customer service, my mission is to take care of my customers better than anyone else. As a result, I earn more than $100,000 per year and score consistently in the top 10% of people in my field. That's a good mission, and you can write your own. Your purpose for your career flows from your values, your vision, and your mission. Your purpose is the reason why you do what you do. It is the reason why you get up in the morning. Your purpose is the reason you work at this particular job or in this particular industry in the first place. Your purpose is what gives meaning to your work and your life. Both a mission and a purpose in your work are always defined in terms of improving and enhancing the life and work of other people in some way. Your mission and purpose are always defined in terms of external contribution. Your mission and purpose describe the difference that you intend to make in the world as the result of who you are and what you do. They explain your value offering, both personally and as a business. Once you've determined your values, vision, mission, and purpose, you organize your work life so that you live consistently with them every hour of every day. If you are truly living consistent with the very best that is in you, other people around you will know what your values, vision, mission, and purpose are without your having to tell them. Here's a question. Based on your current behavior, if researchers were to ask your coworkers what they thought your values, vision, mission, and purpose were, what do you think your coworkers would say about you in response? In other words, how do you think other people think and talk about you when you're not there? How do the people who work with you and deal with you on a day-to-day basis assess the quality of your character and the kind of values you live by? These are some of the most important questions you can ever ask, and the answers should not be left to chance. Your goals are the measurable objectives that you must attain in order to fulfill your mission and purpose and realize your vision. They are the targets you aim at. So what are your goals for your work and career? Your goals must be clear, written, and specific. They must be both believable and achievable. They must be accompanied by written plans and schedules for their accomplishment. You must work on them every day. Each goal must include performance measures or benchmarks. These numbers allow you to clearly determine whether you are moving closer to your goals or further away. A performance measure is a key number of some kind that gives you an indication of performance or effectiveness in a particular area. In every part of your life, you require these measures to evaluate how well you're doing. Your measures serve as scorecards to indicate success or failure in your activities. The choice of a specific standard of performance becomes a primary focal point for your career. Now, one obvious measure or focal point is the amount you earn each year. Another could be the rate of increase in your pay year by year. A measure could be how often you have been promoted in the last 2 years. Another could be your percentile ranking in comparison with others in your field. Many self-employed professionals use their hourly rate as the critical success factor by which they evaluate their performance and effectiveness in everything they do. The amount they earn each hour and how often they earn that amount is like the gauge in the atomic power plant. It's a summary indicator of how well they're doing in many other parts of their careers. So what are your key standards of performance for your work? How do you measure your success on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis? When you set clear goals for yourself, you should write them down, make plans to achieve them, and then work on them every day. Be sure that you have a clear measure of your progress that you can refer to regularly. This becomes your focal point. This is where you mark the X in your work life. Now, what additional knowledge and skill will you need to achieve your goals and fulfill your vision? Remember that if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. What are the core competencies that you will have to develop if you want to lead your field in the years ahead? What is your plan to acquire these core competencies? There are four keys to career success in making yourself more valuable, marketing yourself more effectively, and moving yourself ahead more rapidly. These four keys are 1. Specialization, 2. Differentiation, 3. Segmentation, and 4. Concentration. Specialization refers to your ability to specialize and channel your talents and abilities into a vital area that is of measurable importance and value to your company and to your customers. Your selection of an area of specialization is a critical determinant of your long-term success. What is yours? Differentiation is how you set yourself apart from others on the basis of your superior performance in one or more areas. Your ability to differentiate yourself on the basis of high-quality work is probably the most important single focal point of your career. Just as a company must have an area of excellence or competitive advantage to survive and thrive, you must have one or more as well. What is it, or what are they? If your customers and coworkers were interviewed and asked, "What is his or her area of excellence?" what would they say about you? In what part of your work are you outstanding? What is it that you do better than anyone else? Where do you perform at high levels of effectiveness? If you don't yet have an area of excellence, you must begin immediately to develop one. What should it be? What could it be? What is your plan to become absolutely outstanding at what you do? And how will you measure your level of excellence in a particular area of knowledge or skill? This measure becomes your standard of performance, your focal point. This is where you mark the X in your career. This is where you focus your attention. Becoming absolutely excellent in a critical skill area can do more to advance you in your career than perhaps any other decision or action that you can take. Segmentation refers to the ability to determine the individuals and organizations in your work life who can most benefit the fastest from your excellent performance in a particular area. Proper segmentation requires that you define your most important customers clearly and then resolve to satisfy those customers better than anyone else. Often, you can change the entire direction of your business or your career by changing the definition of the customer that you are going to focus on in the future. The fourth part of personal and corporate marketing is concentration. Concentration refers to your ability to focus single-mindedly on serving your specific market segment with products and services that are absolutely excellent for that individual or organization. These four strategies, specialization, differentiation, segmentation, and concentration, are the essential focal points for achieving extraordinary results in your company and in your career. Remember the question, what one skill, if you developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on your career? Whatever your answer to that question, write it down as a goal, set a deadline, make a plan, and begin working on developing yourself in that area until you master it. This is the real key to career success. First, you shape your habits, and then your habits shape you. What specific habits of thought and action can help you the most to perform at your best and become excellent in your chosen field? New habit pattern development is an ongoing responsibility of adult life. It is too important to be left to chance. You must make it a matter of choice. As it happens, everyone has habits. Your job is to develop habits in each area of your life that make it progressively easier for you to do better and better in that area. And your habits are very much under your control. Some of the habits of highly effective people are punctuality, good time management, self-discipline, single-minded concentration, task completion, and thoughtfulness. These are all habits that you can develop through repetition that will help you to move ahead more rapidly. You are usually quite aware of the habits that would help you the most. The good news is that any activity that you repeat over and over again eventually becomes a new habit. You can develop any habit that you consider either desirable or necessary. By practicing a certain behavior until it becomes automatic, you can actually shape the development of your character and your personality. There's a law of reversibility in psychology that is based on the act-as-if principle. William James of Harvard put it this way. He said, if you feel a certain way, you will act consistent with that feeling. But at the same time, if you act as if you already had the habit you desire, the action itself, repeated often enough, will develop within you the habit consistent with it. For you to develop a habit that you desire, you need only act on every occasion as if you already had the habit. By doing this, you will gradually develop the habit within yourself, action by action, brick by brick, until it becomes a permanent part of your personality. By taking control over the process of new habit pattern development, you take control over your future. Your job is to select the one behavior that is consistent with the most important habit you could develop. Put an X on that behavior, and then practice it every single day until it becomes as natural to you as breathing. The great wall that separates the superior person from the mediocre person is action orientation. Talk is cheap. Action is everything. Select the one activity that you could do each day that would be the most helpful to you in achieving your most important goal. There's always one activity you could practice that is more valuable than anything else. Keep yourself on track by asking continually, what are my highest value activities? Why am I on the payroll? What exactly have I been hired to accomplish? What can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a real difference? And what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Use these questions as your focal points for achieving and maintaining high levels of performance and productivity. The final element of the focal point process to assure that you achieve your career goals is your action commitment from this session. What specific action are you going to take as a result of your answers to the questions I asked you earlier? In the final analysis, a person who takes a single action as the result of a new idea or insight is far more valuable than the person who learns 100 ideas but who does nothing. The opportunities and possibilities available to you in your career are virtually without limit. There are more than 100,000 job categories in the United States alone, and this number is multiplying with every new increase of information and every advance in technology. There are no limits to what you can accomplish if you will develop absolute clarity about who you are and what you want, and then throw your whole heart into doing your job better than anyone else. This commitment will open up doors of opportunity for you that will make your future unlimited.